Heavenly Father, I pray that you may help us to see the wonders of your grace towards us, and so to respond with generous and thankful hearts. Amen. Last week I introduced Giving in Grace, which is just a little look at our giving, Christian giving, and essentially an invitation to review that. And hopefully I explained that our Christian giving is out of recognition that we are stewards, not owners of everything. And we give in response to what God has given us. And secondly, I went on to say it's often easy to focus on the needs, overwhelming needs around us. And like the disciples and feeding the 5,000, all we are asked to do is to offer what we have and organise to receive the blessings that God is going to shower upon us. What we have is blessed and broken by God and will always be enough for his work. So this week I want to look a bit more at our personal response to giving, to look at its sacrificial nature and tithing, the 10% principle often associated with Christian giving. It's not surprising that a suggested reading is the widow's mite. And it is often read as teaching us that it's the attitude of our hearts that is important, not just the quantity of our gift. But I think it goes a little deeper than that. The rich people, Mark's account says, were putting in large sums. And the sense of this verb in Greek was that it was a repeated gift, an ongoing process. Meanwhile, the poor widow put in a worthless coin or two, and the verb action this time was implying a one-off gift. And after witnessing this, Jesus calls his disciples to him. And for Mark, that was just about to say, this is important. It's some teaching coming up. And Jesus says, this poor widow has put in more than all those contributing to the treasury. What do we read of the widow's giving there? That she gave all is probably an exaggeration, a linguistic emphasis, if you like. And it is in stark contrast to the large sums given from the wealth of the rich. But an interpretation often is that the widow gave from her means, not from her surplus. The rich were given from the surplus they had in their wealth. So I suggest the stewardship principle, though, would be it's not about how much you give, but from how much we give. I suggest there are two aspects to this. One is that our giving should be sacrificial. We should notice our giving, feeling it costs us something, that it is noteworthy to us, and a deliberate and conscious thought. If we are to notice our giving, it has to be intentional. That is why we should plan our giving and review it from time to time, as I'm inviting us to do now. Not that we should give to the limits of having nothing left, but certainly that it is a mindful, thoughtful and meaningful act of giving. And secondly, a principle should be that it could be proportionate. It is to be from our means, not just our surplus. There needs to be a proportionality to it, to guide us. And traditionally, as I've said, this is from the Old Testament law of the tithe, a 10% giving, if you like. And this is in Deuteronomy chapter 14. That is actually commanded as a gift. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, says he calls us to give in proportion to what we have received, but also out of what we have, not what we do not have. And I say that as a call to give realistically. And so if we come to review our giving, sometimes it will be to increase, but also sometimes it will may mean we are to increase our giving. And I think 10% should be seen as an aspirational principle, not a mandatory law, if you like. And these two principles are not conflicting. The percentage we give is not fixed regardless of income. And perhaps it should be a percentage that costs us something, a sacrificial is more important. And to help us in following these principles, many churches organise envelope giving schemes. And of course, our government encourages planned giving by offering gift aid and the recovery of tax from our giving. And we get 25p extra for every pound given in that way. But in this day and age, we often give by direct debit and standing order. And I try to acknowledge this when I say my offertory prayer and receiving the collection. But, and I'd like to hear your views on this, should we consider other ways to acknowledge our giving through the banks? And I've heard also that there's been tokens that people can give and put on the offertory plate as it comes around. And that perhaps is a bit more of a physical reminder of us as we complete that action, in that our giving is being done in other ways. However we give, when considering all other household and financial commitments, and perhaps even before we look at these, we need to decide what our given proportion could be, and then organise and commit to its giving. Not leave it to see what we have left over, which the Haggai reading we heard earlier alludes to. Our giving then can then become proportional, intentional, and dare I say sacrificial giving. And the bonus of looking at giving in this way is that it will help the church to be more efficient and prudent with its finances. It can become to depend upon a regular income. And it also, for us, means that our giving is not dependent on weekly attendance at church. It is automated, as it were, through the banks, and therefore consistent and fulfilling our planned responses to giving. It's not the whim of what cash we have to hand or left over at the end of the month. There is something too in having planned giving in mind that enables us to respond in other ways. The Old Testament also speaks about first fruits offerings. It's a gift to God in public worship, from the first crop that the land produces. And again, there's a 10% guiding principle to this. Giving of first fruits is a gift in such a way to recognise the benevolence of God towards us, and a renewed declaration of faith in God's grace. And many people will perhaps offer first fruit giving when in respect to something new or unexpected, an inheritance perhaps, or a bonus. And it's as a declaration of thankfulness to God and a recognition that we are but stewards of all that He gives us. Our planned, intentional, and sacrificial giving would also put into perspective our view about special appeals. And the Lent appeal is coming up, and we usually support the Chancellor Diocese appeal for the work in Africa and Kenya particularly, and that's no different this year. But if we're planning and giving intentionally, we need to ask ourselves, are we just going to give to these appeals by diverting our regular giving? Because if we do that, are we not just robbing the gift of God to grow His church here in Denton? And there are other things that come along. We need to do some work at the back of the church, and we need to raise finances for that at some point. And I think if our plan, our giving is planned and intentional, we should be careful we don't rob that in giving to some of these other worthwhile needs. Giving to other charitable and worthwhile causes is, of course, an honourable and a good thing. But the principle of the Old Testament is that the priests were supported by the offerings given in worship, and the work of giving to the widows and the poor at the time was raised through this. And I think that's a continuation of what happens today. Our giving is to the work and support the work of this church, which can include ministry to the poor, the widows, the orphans, the needy in our society too. And I think, as a Christian giving, our principal source of giving should be the church. Giving over and above our general or tithe offering is deeply personal and a sacrament of gratitude and worship. It is also prophetic in a world where enough means just a little bit more. It keeps our hearts before God as the giver of all and calls us to not just give of our money, but of our time and efforts to uphold social justice, to resist corruption and systemic greed so prevalent in our time. And again, if you look at Old Testament reading from Haggai, and even some of Jesus' words about the scribes, that challenges us to get our act together and to give not just to God, but to the needs of the society in which we find ourselves. So, just summarising what I've been trying to say over these 2 weeks, giving in grace is an opportunity to review our giving. We give because we recognise God is a great giver, in that everything we have is His. Our response to the need around us is to give what we have, for example, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and to anticipate God's goodness, as the disciples did, to organise a crowd and to receive the blessings. Our giving should be proportional, planned and sacrificial, and that's from the widow's mite. And over and above our planned and general giving, there are other ways to give that should not necessarily impinge on our principal tithe or Christian giving in worship. Another giving could include first fruit giving, appeals and other charities. So I pray and ask, in reviewing our giving, may God guide us to be generous with what we have, sacrificial in our attitudes to what we have and need, planned in our responses to what we give, and obedient in our hearts to God's calling and God's ways. Amen.